talking about the resurrection of Christ, and we have seen thus far the fact of Christ's resurrection, the importance of Christ's resurrection, and the manner of Christ's resurrection. And this morning we want to take a look at the results of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the first thing we want to see here is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's a solid foundation that's been laid for our faith in God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. It says here, 1 Peter 1 verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." He says, "who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." So he raised him there. And men have constantly been looking for proofs of the existence and character of God. Well, you don't need to look any further, really, than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And understand the resurrection, as we've seen before, there's a solid basis for it. We've been talking about on Sunday evenings in the book of 1 John, how that, it's sensible to believe the gospel because it was attested to by the apostles. They saw Jesus alive for 40 days after his resurrection, after he came out of the grave. And, men were looking for proofs of the existence and character of God, but they looked right over the resurrection, which is really the crowning proof of God's existence and God's character. There's the argument we know from the marks of creative intelligence and design of the material universe, and we know that as believers, we can see the hand of God in our if you just take a look at just part of God's creation, just take a look at the human body, understand how it functions, and there's no way it could just happen, no way. It shows the designer. It'd be stupid as somebody with a watch saying, "Well, this just came together after billions and billions of years, and all the parts just kind of came together, and here I've got a watch now." No, you look at the watch and it's got a designer, and usually the designer's got his name on it. Amen. He's got it where you can tell who's there. Well, God's got his stamp on everything he made. You can see his glory in it. And men have constantly been looking for proofs of the existence and character of God, and they overlook the marks of creative intelligence and design. There's also the argument from the evidence of an intelligent guiding hand in human history. Even now, we can see God's guiding hand, can't we? We know that things are coming to a head, coming to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And, it's a can kind of be a frightful time if you don't know God. But when you know God and you see God's hand and you know that things are coming together such that people are going to be looking for the Antichrist. They're not looking for, they're looking for somebody who can solve the problems of this world. Who can solve the problems? Boy, our problems are many, aren't they? When you take a look at the problems, you say, "Man, I don't think anybody can fix this." Well, there's going to come a man on the scene that's going to offer solutions. He can say, "Hey, you put me in charge, I can fix this." Of course, we know he's just wicked, and he's the Antichrist, and I'm glad we're going to be out of here. We won't have to deal with that, those of us that know the Lord. But there's the argument also from the conscience of man and man's sense of right and wrong. People want to say, "Well, they're who are you to tell me what to do? There's no sense of right and wrong that we have." And say, "Well, okay, I'll just pull my gun out and shoot you right here." "Well, you can't do that. That's against the law." "Well, you want to be a law to yourself. Who said that it's against the law? God's the one who said, 'Thou shalt not kill.'" And man put it in his, he knows in his conscience that it's not right to take the life of another. And so, He and thinking about that and dwelling on that and looking at God's law, men, our country especially, came up with the laws of our nation. A lot of it based upon God's laws. And not only the God's laws that He put in our conscience, but of course, the written law. But the resurrection is of Jesus Christ points with unerring certainty to the existence, the power, and the holiness of the God who raised Him. I like that verse 21, who by Him, by Christ, do believe in God. Christ is the one that directs us to God. You know, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Where's your faith and hope this morning? Yeah, it's in the Lord, isn't it? And it's in the Lord because of what we've done through Christ Jesus and believing in His death, burial, and resurrection for our sins. Our belief in God is fixed on a faith that rests on a firm fact, the fact of Christ's resurrection. Look one page back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And we see by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, believers are born again unto a lively hope, to an inheritance undefiled, and that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for us. In fact, it's put down just like that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy..." Aren't you glad we have a merciful God? You know, when you think about it, none of us deserve the grace that we have, the mercy that we have in Christ Jesus. But, oh, thank God that we have it. He says, "Blessed be the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again." We're born again because of God's mercy. But we're born again into a lively hope, he says, and into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I want you to think about this for a minute. What if Christ had not risen? Where's the hope at? No hope. There's no hope in some dead person that's in a grave somewhere. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and His righteousness, which His righteousness is what... got Him back out of that grave too, amen. Says He hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. Now, you know, remember we're heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ now, to an inheritance incorruptible. You know, a lot of folks have an inheritance. Part of my inheritance when my dad passed away, I got a little old pickup truck, a 92 Mazda pickup truck. Well, that thing's been gone for a few years. You know why? Because it was corruptible. You know? It was corruptible. And there are things that we inherit here in earthly that are corruptible, but what we inherit with the Lord Jesus Christ, those things are incorruptible. They're undefiled, and they don't fade away, they're reserved in heaven. For us, what a blessing. Through our believing in the risen and living Christ, Christ begins to live in us. You know, we sing the song, you know, "I serve a risen Savior." He's in the world today. Amen. And we talk about He lives within my heart. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the truth that is made living in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and it results in a new birth. And through our believing in the risen Savior, Christ lives in us. It begins in us. We have spiritual life. "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin," according to Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And He quickened us with His Spirit when we believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the resurrection of Christ forms that firm foundation of fact on which to build our hope for the future. See, a third thing found, look at Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. We're talking about what the results of the resurrection are. Well, when Christ came out of that grave, He was making a declaration. He declared by coming out of the grave that He wasn't just any old ordinary man. Yeah? Who goes in the grave and comes out? Not, you know, when you go in there, you're there. unless you have somebody that can raise you up from the grave. We know that there were some prophets that rose, God used to raise some in the Old Testament. We know Jesus Christ and the apostles He used in the New Testament. But listen, the thing that gives us hope is that Christ came out of the grave. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, as which he had promised before. You know, the gospel was promised. The Messiah was promised. He had promised before by his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, talking about the Old Testament, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and here it is, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The claim that Jesus made was that while even the greatest and best of prophets were only servants, He was the Son of God. Others were, Moses was a servant of God. Abraham was a servant of God. And those two were looked up on by the Jews as their forefathers. But Christ said, hey, look, I'm the Son. Makes me different. And look at John chapter number 5. No, let's see. I got ahead of myself. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians 1. And we'll read Scripture in just a second, but what I want to say, Jesus said that He was the beloved and the only begotten one of the Father. All through the book of the Gospel of John, He says those things. And while other faithful messengers were only the servants of the kingdom actually belonged to Him as His own inheritance. Look at 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 20. And when it says, for all the promises of God, it's talking about everything that was promised in the Old Testament to the Jews and to us. For all the promises of God in Him, in Jesus, are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, and who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So we see the blessed Trinity right here. Amen. We see God the Father, promises of God in Him, in Jesus Christ, or yea, and in Him. And what did He do? He sealed us with the Holy Spirit inside. But we know that Jesus claimed that He was one with the Father and that men should honor Him with the same honor as the Father. Now, they didn't listen to Him, did they? And by and large, people were not, especially those that should have known, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the men of the law, they should have known that who Jesus was. If they had been really men of the book, and the Old Testament attested to the coming Messiah, if they had really paid attention to the Old Testament, they would have recognized Jesus Christ, but they didn't recognize Him. And He claimed, He said, you know, if you search the Scriptures, He said, they are they which testify of Me. Amen. And they did testify of Him. He claimed that He was the one with the Father and men should honor Him. And by raising Christ from the dead, God set His seal to Christ's claim. He said, okay, this is, you know, He said He was going to come out of that grave. He came out of that grave. He was telling the truth. Amen. Even though others were raised from the dead by God's power, and nobody gets raised without God's power, they made no such claim prior to their deaths as Jesus did. Jesus said, you bury this, you know, you bury this body, this temple, is the way how you tear this temple down, and in 3 days it's going to come back. Man, He was talking about His body. Even though others were raised, only Jesus said He was going to arise from the grave. Look at Acts chapter number 17. Acts 17. And here we want to see by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has given assurance to all men that He's going to judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the judge. Amen. And the judge is coming. He's coming again. Look at Acts 17, verse 23. And Paul hears in on Mars Hill, and he's seeing all these idols that have been raised to the various gods. They were trying to make sure they had all their gods covered, and they had even had an inscription to one called the Unknown God. Look at verse 23. Paul says here, says, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions," talking about those gods, little g, he said, "I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now, out of all those idols that were there, the only one that was a real God, it's not the idol wasn't a real God, but it was just a thing made to the unknown God. The unknown God, the God of the universe, is the one true God. It was only just one. Look at verse 24 there. He said, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things." I mean, He's making it pretty clear here as He's distinguishing who the real God is. Verse 26, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him," in God, we live and move and have our being." In other words, God's the source of our lives. You're breathing right now because God hadn't sold your breath to quit breathing. You know? You don't even have to think about it. You just breathe, don't you? You don't have to think about your heart ticking. It ticks. It beats. What a blessing. You know, but it's in God's hands. In Him we live and move and have our being. He says, "As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead." He points right there that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was God's assurance to man that He was going to judge them. Jesus Christ claimed that God would judge the world by Him too. Look at not only verse 31 there supports that, but look at John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. John 5, verse number 22. John 5:22 says, "For the Father," and this is Jesus speaking, "for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent Him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, So hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority, here it is, to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Man, what a voice that's going to be. He said, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's two separate resurrections there, okay? And he says, there that it's going to come at the voice of God. But we know that by Christ, by raising Christ from the dead, God has also set his seal to Christ's claim. And if you ask me how I know there's a judgment day coming when Christ will judge the world in righteousness, really all I need to tell you is look at the empty tomb. Okay? Look at the empty tomb. The sure fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ points unerringly forward to the sure coming of judgment in the future. Where Hebrews 9:27-28 says that, and that is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, we know, you know, Jesus lives, right? You know, he is coming again. And the reason why he's coming again, you know, is that the grave could not hold him. He came out. And he was offered to bear our sins, and we look for him. That second time he's going to come, he's going to come to take us home with him. And I'm glad for that. Amen. The results of the resurrection. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Here's the fifth thing we want to see. And I'm going to read you the first verse that we're going to deal with. But the rest of it is there in Ephesians chapter 2. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the fifth thing here is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, believers in him are justified or declared righteous. That's what that word justified means. In fact, in the book of Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Paul talks about how that Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So our justification is tied to his resurrection. You know? Without the resurrection, you don't have justification. But we've been declared righteous, justified, because of his being raised again from the grave. Christ gave up his life as an atoning sacrifice for believers. He was raised up for our transgressions. And the resurrection is God's declaration of his acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. And therefore, it's a declaration of justification to those who believe on his death, burial, and resurrection for them. We see here in Ephesians chapter 2 how that Christ died as our representative. Look at verse number 4. Ephesians 2, verse number 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now this is all through faith. Our faith in Christ. In fact, Romans chapter number 6 is a good chapter to take a look at. We identify in the death of Christ. Tells you, you know, we're buried with him in baptism. Talking about we're dead in him. When Christ was crucified on the cross, basically, we died in him. But we also live in him. His resurrection is our resurrection. He took our death. He is our resurrection. Christ died as our representative. Christ also arose as our representative. He ascended as our representative. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. We're just as good as there already. Amen. I mean, I know we're not there, but we're as good as there already. He's seated as our representative. He's our great high priest. Now, as one risen, ascended, and seated, he is declared to be God's chosen and accepted one, and we are declared chosen, accepted, and righteous in him. Amen. What a blessing this doctrine of the resurrection is. You know, we have so much in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's more that we're going to be taking a look at. I know we only dealt with five this morning. We'll be taking a look at six more. There's a total of 11, but all we have time for this morning. But grab a hold of all that you have in Christ. Come to understand what the things in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection mean to you personally as a child of God. And when you come to grasp that, I believe that's what Paul was getting at in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3 and verse number 10, when he said, that I may know him, you know, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He wanted to know Christ more in a greater way. And he knew Christ. And you know Christ this morning. But you know, the more that you come to know Christ and know him experientially, when that resurrection power is manifested in your life and you say, you know, I couldn't do this if I wasn't saved. You talk about missionaries this morning. One we had last week going to Egypt. These this morning going to Turkey. Two tough fields. You know, and man, you better have God on you going to go to a field like that, because you can't do it in your flesh. You just can't. You could, but wouldn't be recommended. Amen. But you come to know Christ, and this couple is going to come to know Christ in a greater way through Christ manifesting himself in their daily life as he gives them that resurrection life, resurrection walk, and others are able to see Jesus through them in the same way that it ought to be in our daily experience here where we're at, serving the Lord. People ought to be able to see Jesus in us. Amen. I mean, Christ is alive in you, right? If you're saved, he is. You have his Holy Spirit living within. And if you don't have his Holy Spirit, you're not saved. And we'll say more about that in the morning service. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the time we've had together in this Sunday school hour. Lord, help us to gain a greater understanding of what the resurrection means to us. Thank you for, Lord, what the work that you've already done in our lives and that you continue to do in our lives. And Lord, thank you for manifesting yourself to us in greater ways as we grow in grace and your knowledge of you, Lord. We come to understand you in ways that we didn't before, and it's a blessing in our lives. Lord, we just pray for the next service that you bless those that will be coming in. Lord, for the morning service, just pray, Lord, that you would be with me. Lord, help me to preach in your power. And Lord, give us understanding of the Scriptures today. And we just pray that you would bless our time here together today. In Jesus' name, amen.